wondering what we were going to do, as a group, what we were going to do about the disability housing situation for those people who lose their designation of disabled. Do they, or VC housing, or do we have, should we have a meeting with VC housing? How should we do that?
Well, I was thinking of initially going to TRAC, Tenants Rights Action Coalition, who are very, housing is their issue. And I think that they would be,
sort of handed over that concern over to them, or I'm just well aware that that is one of the things that has happened to a client of mine who did lose designation for disability based on the fact his file was closed and he went away and was gone for 3 months and then he came back and something else happened. And it was a long story, but he did lose his housing because he lost his designation. And even though it's supposed to be permanent, it no longer is. So it is more precarious than it ever was before. So we're going to be really looking at, that's a very large issue that Susan brought up.
But Stephen's actually, we run First United Housing Society, so he might, do you want to speak from that?
PC Housing has one independent way of assessing disability. If you're not on DB2, you can still be disabled by DC Housing. You can always go to a meeting after the commission.
Okay.
So that's still a possibility.
Okay.
Sorry, so does the designate, are you talking about like being on CPP disability, or?
Well,
are you just talking about having a different board of their own and they make that assessment?
That's my understanding, okay. Is that they've always had a medical meeting or something, but if you're not on DB2, you can stay on disabled and they can decide. But I don't think they can check that out.
We've had several disability applications come back that we process based on costs only. We received one today that we submitted, actually a DB2 application, that was absolutely, in my opinion, 100% definitely a DB2. Superb submission. It went in May. The ministry has held it all these months.
Yeah.
And they haven't denied us DB2. They simply returned it.
You can reapply. I have several. I have several people who've been held since June.
That's
Not
done. Maybe not the client can barely make it up the stairs. But anyway, I suppose there's no recourse there. But in this particular case and in several others, we did the DV2s based on costs primarily. And as I looked at that questionnaire for the multiple barriers, I have clients who have to be reassessed on DV2. They're not going to make it. They're not going to get 15 points. In my opinion, they're disabled and they'll go back to regular benefits. If we have DV2s on costs only, what are your suggestions? Do you have any?
All I personally have thought of was, maybe I'm stupid and naive, but I would like to get four or five of these people together who are squeaky clean with four or five advocates and try and find someone who's empathetic within the newspaper community to sit down and interview us and talk to us.
Yeah, I agree.
Dumb thing to do?
Yeah. I just think we need to get
the story out. We may be able to do nothing for them, but to just get the story out.
Anyone can see that this person is disabled. Why can't our provincial government recognize that?
Exactly.
Right?
Okay.
This
man in the back, and then
my name is Ivan. I work for the Anti-Poverty Commission. We've been talking for a while, putting together a forum on disability cuts, on the changes, because we've been getting a lot of calls and a lot of people coming through who are really frantic about it and really terrified. And I know it's still very early in the process, and we're having a hard time. I know everybody's having a hard time figuring out what the best strategy is for recommendations of how people can best fill up forms so as to be processed in the most favorable manner. But I think it's important that there be a public forum at this point, just to kind of assuage people's fears and be like, we're all in this together, and to kind of fill people in and say, do wait a month, wait until we get some stuff back and there's stuff forthcoming, because I think there's a lot of people out there who are not getting that word and who are just like, are still beginning to panic and either just thinking about, I'm hearing from a lot of people who are thinking about not bothering to reapply because it was so onerous to begin with, and are just thinking about either jumping it or they're going to just do a panic application now and see it through. But I like to see people involved to talk with other advocates and other front line workers about strategies to do the same thing publicly, even if it's only to express dismay and only to express anger. But I think that stuff does make it public, and I think that inviting press to that kind of stuff too can be one of the best ways to expose some of this crap.
Thank you.
Well, hi, Robin. This is just a nuts and bolts question. I had a nurse from mental health team call me yesterday and ask me, if somebody applied several months ago for DD2 and hasn't heard yet, what is going to happen? Can they expect to get a letter saying, here's your new application?
Yes.
That's what will happen.
I think
not necessarily.
There was a whole bunch of applications that were stockpiled. People sent them in like in May and June, July, August, and September. I think there was as many as 4,000. And the ministry slowed down. They adjudicated a few, but in September they don't think they were adjudicating. And Stephanie, you have some info about this, right? So what I certainly is going to happen, in most cases they'll be sent a new application form and said you have to reapply and we'll assess on a new criteria.
Just to speak.
They're getting their old to get their DD application back.
Are you sending back?
Yeah. And what's...
Well,
we're seeing applications that have gone as far back as June. I believe someone else has seen May. There are 4,000 applications stockpiled. Health Assistance Branch says that they're trying to get through them in the next 2 weeks. It does appear that they held them. Because even with 14-15 week processing time that they had before, there's no way that decisions shouldn't have been made on some of these applications. So it's clear that they deliberately stopped adjudicating them. That said, what Health Assistance Branch says they're doing is they're looking through them to see whether or not the person, whether or not there's enough information in the application to determine that the person meets the new legislative criteria. The language that the person I spoke to used was, we're looking for slam dunks, right? They're looking for slam dunks, people who are living in licensed community care facilities, people who are, right? So they say that some applications, and this was an actual worker I talked to, not a FLAC, right? So some applications will go through, but probably not very many. And then the related issue is, I mean, effectively what they are doing is denying people without denying them, right? So they're returning the application saying there's not enough information for us to make a decision. So at that point, which way do you go with your client, right? On the one hand, you could just submit the new application. The other option, of course, would be to say, no, we're demanding the right to appeal, right? Because you have denied my client. Now, of course, the flip side of this is that if you go to tribunal on this and the client's denied and the tribunal decision is implemented, if a subsequent application is made under the same situation, the client will be denied a right to appeal from any decision made in the subsequent application. So when your clients get their applications bounced back, right, there's going to be some decisions to be made about which approach to use.
And I think you might have problems appealing it because they'll say, well, we didn't actually make a decision, so there's
nothing
to
problems.
Appeal.
Some people have apparently had success forcing them, and that's, I think that's another situation where you'd contact the ministry lawyer, right? Like, no, we expect you to issue a reconsideration package to our client.
Yeah.
Right.
You got a question over here? Well, just two things. I didn't mean to minimize the housing issue because I still think we need to find out what the housing issue is, and I think I was just trying to keep that information in. But the question I had was, Robin or anyone else, this says the application has to be completed in the order, to be completed in the order listed, which would be 1, 2, and 3. And I phoned the 1-800 number and I said, and they called me back. Somebody called me.
Wow.
I asked that question and she said, oh no, when we get the application it's all in one piece so we don't care. And I said, well, what if the assessor's part is dated before the doctor's part? They said, oh, well, that's
good. Why is it important that it's filled out 1, 2, 3?
Pardon me?
Why would
directions to? They say you have to.
What I'm concerned about is if people are doing it in the wrong order and the dates don't coincide chronologically. And part of the concern is, for some people where you have an independent assessor, it might be useful to have the assessor part done before you get to the doctor.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is why they want the doctor to do it first.
Yeah. Yeah. To do that, but it's helped, and we don't know that. It's
we'll be held against
you. Question mark that I have.
Well, I hope not, but, I mean, the information's there. Who cares what order it came in? I know.
Get the assessor to forward date it or the doctor to backdate it.
To the end, so I just have a question in regards to how they did the review. I've talked to several people to try to find out how they determined who was going to be one of the 18,000 and who's going to be one of the 23,000. I had several advances.
Their criteria.
like one worker told me that was it depended on the workers and what was on the computer screen. So if there was more information on the computer screen, that person wasn't going to be reviewed. If there wasn't enough information, then that person would be reviewed. Another person said, oh no, they're looking through the actual hard file, and if there's not enough information on the hard file, then they're asking for more information. So I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of different.
They had claimed that they were going to exclude from the review people with schizophrenia. Hasn't happened. Many haven't. Yeah. People with developmental disabilities. Hasn't happened. Some of them have got it. People in wheelchairs were going to be automatically exempt. Hasn't happened. People who are blind automatically exempt. Hasn't happened. And people with HIV, AIDS, Hep C. Hasn't happened. Some of them have got them. So, then they claim some were sent out in error. But this is why CMHA wants to track it, is because this is what we were told. And so we want to know kind of what went out. But certainly, we were told that many of them did happen in the office, but the Health Assistance Branch in Victoria also did a review there. And a lot of it is around costs. If somebody qualified on costs, they're bound to get it because they've just said flat out that DB2 is not intended to alleviate poverty.
Terry, can I just add to that? I work for Canadian Mental Health as well, and I'm answering a lot of calls, and I have the phone number of a woman who works for the ministry, and I'm supposed to call her whenever I have a problem. And from her mouth, I asked her exactly what you asked, because people were asking me how they were determining this, because they were saying, well, I have a worse problem than my friend, and she didn't get a letter, okay? So this woman felt paranoid about that. So what I was told, plain and simple, was the people who got letters are people for whom we do not have enough information on file. Now, whether or not you choose to believe that or not, I don't know.
But what does it mean?
I had 12 diagnoses on my original application, 2 doctor's letters, $500 in cost. Well, screw them. I've now got 14 diagnoses, and they're going to get every single one of them because I got a new one today.
Keep going out.
And they're getting
them. But when you listen to their explanation, it doesn't add up. It doesn't add up to 18,000 people. And I think they made arbitrary decisions.
Yeah.
If you got disability by appeal in the last 6 months, you're reviewed. If you have soft tissue injuries, you're reviewed.
If
right?
You've been on it for a long time.
Yeah. I think, and they made arbitrary decisions.
That's their answer, and they're sticking to it.
Okay, it's just slightly up to 4.
We have to leave.
Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you.